The following audio is from Potomac Heights Baptist Church, located in Indian Head, Maryland. More information about Potomac Heights Baptist Church is available at www.phbc.com. Potomac Heights Baptist Church exists to glorify God and to make Christ known to the ends of the world by helping one another become more like Jesus. It is our hope that you will prayerfully listen to this sermon audio.
So, Matthew chapter 9. If you have a Bible, please turn to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 9. We'll be going through verse 35 through verse 38. And we do have Bibles available in the back if you need a copy. Our brother Stephen is handing those out. And if you do have one of those Bibles, I believe we're on page 968. But you could always, I'm sure the person beside you would be delighted to help you find it. So Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And so there are times in preaching when, I mean, you're required to just be direct with people. When God's word issues a clear warning, or perhaps maybe a correction. There are also times when preaching requires perhaps an exhortation, where you're urging people to do something, where you're pleading with them to do this. But my goal this morning isn't necessarily to correct, although that is appropriate at times. And I do hope that when the Lord, through His Word, deals with you that way, that you would respond with humility. But my goal also isn't necessarily to exhort, right, to urge us to do something. But I believe that our text this morning warrants just one simple goal, and that's encouragement, the goal of encouragement. And I think before we begin, I would like to just speak to three different groups that are probably here or are listening. First is just my brothers and sisters in Christ. I do want to encourage you, because one pastor says discouragement is one of Satan's favorite arrows. And so I think the goal of encouragement is biblical. So as Brother Greg said, I just preached the whole sermon right there, we're going to think about evangelism, right? The series is what do we believe? And I think just as we go through the passage, I'm going to save the confession to the end. So we are going to read it, but I think it'll make more sense as we go to the end. But brothers and sisters, as you take the gospel to the people in your life who need it, that is challenging work. And so don't get discouraged. And my goal is simply to cheer you on this morning as you participate in the challenging work of evangelizing and sharing the gospel. And simply to say, beloved, don't grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary in doing good, but press on in this important work. The second group, to state the obvious, we have our kids here with us. Amen. Our children are a joy. And kids, we are glad that you are here. You have a binder, hopefully, if there are some, where you can follow along with some of the notes. And there's a picture in there of a sheep, so that may be why they said we're going to talk about sheep this morning. But we're glad that you're here. And even though you have a notebook, we're talking about something really exciting. Again, y'all already said it. We are going to talk about Jesus, who He is, and what He has done. But there's also a third group that I'd like to speak to before we read the passage. And that's those here that aren't Christians. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian, or perhaps you're listening and you're not a Christian. Just know that I'm delighted that you're here. But you've heard that my goal for my brothers and sisters is to just encourage them in this work. But my goal for you must be different, right? If you, as someone who's not a Christian, can sit comfortably through a Christian sermon, so, you know, there's something off there. The preaching is not Christian, or maybe you're just not listening to it. But so for the text today, what we're going to read is Christ calls His followers to pray. And Christ calls His followers to pray specifically for more laborers to be sent to share the gospel. And so if you're not a Christian, then you are the very person that Christ weeps over in our passage this morning. And Jesus doesn't simply give us a motivational talk for a healthier life, for a happy life, or for even for a wise life. That is not Jesus' goal for us. No, Jesus weeps over people who do not know who he is. He weeps over those who don't know him. And do you know what Jesus' response is? Christ's response is to simply turn to his followers and say, pray. Pray for more people to go and share the gospel with the lost. And again, every believer here is glad that you have gathered with us this morning. But Christ doesn't ultimately care about my comfort or your comfort. But what Christ wants and what God commands is that you believe in Christ, that you turn from your sin and from yourself, and you believe in the resurrected Lord. And the reason I want to go ahead and speak to you on the front end is because it probably sounds odd that a preacher would give time to one simple task, encouraging other Christians to stay faithful as they seek to share the gospel. But I think even though you may not follow Christ, by the end of the sermon you could see why I would spend time just gently and lovingly supporting my brothers and sisters in this important work. So, with that in mind, let's turn our attention now to God's Word in Matthew chapter 9, and let us listen as God speaks to us through his Word in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Verse 38, "Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This is the word of God, and may it make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, you are holy. Father, would you help us to behold your glory this morning? Father, would you give us a love for your word, a love for the lost, and love for your people? Lord, we need your help. Would you help us? In Jesus' name, amen. So one just main idea, and it's simple. Christ labors among sinners. Christ labors among sinners. And he calls his followers to pray for more laborers to be sent. So the first thing we see is that Christ labors among sinners. We see that in verses 35 to 36. And I mentioned just that my goal was encouragement. And so just from the start, I think one way that we can be encouraged is to get our eyes off of ourselves. Because if we are looking at ourselves and our own failures, then it's easy to grow weary, right? It's easy to get discouraged. And so I don't think there's a better way for us to be encouraged than simply put before you the example of your Savior. And so if you're here and you find yourself discouraged this morning in your work for the Lord, then I want to just say, take heart and let us think for a moment about the labor of our Lord, that our Savior, Christ, labored among sinners. And I think that his example will provide encouragement for you. So we're thinking about Christ's labor among sinners, and a simple question is, what was his labor? If our Lord, if he labored, what did he do? What did Jesus spend his time doing? We'll look down at verse 35 and verse 36. And I'll read both of those. We're going to see six parts of Christ's labor. Look at verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so you notice that Christ's labor includes six parts. So in verse 35, the first thing Jesus does is he goes, and Jesus went. Do you see that? Throughout all the cities and the villages. And so the first thing that we learn about Christ is that he wasn't just sitting in a palace. Right? I mean, Christ is a king. But he wasn't just sitting back with his feet propped up, right, ordering servants around just to do his bidding. No, our Savior, our God, he goes to these people. So think for a moment. just about the different people that are represented here among the members at Potomac Heights. Right, just among us, there are some pretty big differences. Some of y'all have lived extremely different lives from others that are here. I mean, literally, some of you have lived all over the world. And so you've met different people, right? All types of people. You know, I've learned some of y'all's stories. We're still new, but I've heard some of them. And y'all are fascinating. I mean, y'all have just lived very exciting lives. But y'all are also very diverse. But so now think about the different peoples mentioned in these few verses we just read. Right? Just in these verses, we have multiple categories of people. So in verse 35, well, we'll say Jesus is his own category. But then there are those in the cities. There are people in the villages. There are those in the synagogues. Right? In verse 35 toward the end, there are the people who are diseased. There are those who are afflicted. Verse 36, there are the crowds. On down in verse 37, there's also the disciples. And then in verse 38, there are the harvest, which is the lost. Then there are those who are going to the harvest, the ones that are sent out. And so I know mentioning just these different groups is simple, right? You may think, brother, we can read, but I want to mention these different groups just for a few reasons. And one, I mean, as you see, right? I mean, they're in the Bible, and so part of preaching is just reminding again and again. But second, it's simple, but we get to see that this is our Savior, this is our Lord, this is our God and our Christ, and He labored among all different types of people. Right, we looked at them. The folks in the city, Christ loved them. The folks in the villages, Christ loved them too. Right, the ones that were in the synagogue at the Bible study, the ones that were in need of healing, that were sick, the disciples, Christ loved all of them. And so the Jesus that we follow loves all different types of people. And there's also a third reason. And you notice there are a variety of groups just in this passage. Right, multiple categories of people. And no doubt that means different needs, different challenges, right, different incomes. Right, I mean, they were vastly different people. But you see, even with all their differences, they had one common need. They needed the Jesus that had come to them. Right, no matter what their differences were, no matter how they identified themselves, they had one common need. They needed Christ. And beloved, the same is true for us. Right, we need Jesus, we need our Savior. And it would have been very easy to get distracted by all these different categories, just like in our day. Right? We could easily get distracted by something that is secondary, a way of identifying ourselves. But don't forget that our common need is Christ. Notice that's the first thing Christ does. Right? Christ goes in verse 35. But you notice the second thing as part of Christ's labor. He goes, He teaches, and He preaches. So in verse 35, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And so part of Christ's labor is Him going, Him teaching, and Him preaching. And what does He preach? Do you see that in verse 35? He preaches what? The gospel of the kingdom. So as He's going, as He's teaching, as He's preaching, what Christ is explaining over and over and over and over is His suffering. He's explaining that He would live and die in the place of sinners. He's explaining that He's going to get up from the tomb, that He's going to be resurrected. And over and over again, Christ is proclaiming the response to Him, that we must believe in Him. And we're in the Gospel of Matthew. Earlier in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew had already said that this is the Jesus who has come, who will save His people, and He will save His people from their sins. And here's something, and I know you know this, but do you know that not everyone responded positively to Christ's message? Do you know He preached faithfully, but many people hated Him? They hated Jesus and they hated His message. But Christ kept preaching. Right? He kept going. He kept teaching. He kept proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And a pastor had this encouragement. I think it's helpful. He said, "You may be sharing the gospel faithfully, but you have not yet seen someone actually believe. That's hard, but our job is to proclaim salvation, not produce it." Notice this, we're called to deliver a message to people. We're called to deliver a message to people. God's the one who delivers people from their sins. And so, brothers and sisters, if your non-Christian friends if they don't respond positively to this message, that's okay. Right? Don't be surprised by that. Don't grow weary in doing good and press on. Keep sharing the gospel. And know that while you participate in that work of proclaiming the gospel, that you are following your Lord's example. You are doing the very thing that Jesus spent his time doing. And so that's three things Jesus does. He goes, he teaches, he preaches. He does three more things. Look at verse 35 there. And healing every disease and every affliction. So part of Christ's work is that he's healing. And we could spend a long time on each one, but we'll go more quickly. The second thing he does in verse 36, notice this, when he saw the crowds. So Christ sees and Christ heals. And so we could ask, well, who is it that Christ is seeing? Right? It says he saw the crowds, but that's part of his work. I mean, Jesus doesn't just put his headphones in and look down and walk past people. Now, what is our Lord doing? Well, he has his eyes up and he's seeing the people who need him. He's actively looking to share himself with them. And the last part of Christ's labor that I want us to think about with the hope of encouraging you is in verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So notice this. Part of Jesus' labor is that he has compassion. And you notice that language, sheep without a shepherd. I mean, it's used all throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. But as Jesus uses this language, right, there's something unique about him, right? He uses this and acknowledges this about the people, but he's unique in that he can actually help these people, right? I mean, he is the one who has come to save them. So he's not just making an observation like all these poor people. No, he's come and he's giving himself so that this will no longer be true of them. And so we may think about this. When Jesus sees these people, what does he do? Right? I mean, does Jesus rebuke them for being ungrateful people? I mean, does Jesus just sort of look at them and say, look, we've all had a hard life. We all have a hard time. So, you know, just get over it. Right? I mean, sure, you have leprosy, but just get over it. We've all got our problems. Right? No, Jesus does not do that at all. He's not cold. And make no mistake, this was a needy people, right? They were always in need of Christ, but he does not grow cold. He has compassion for his people. And notice this word, right, compassion. That describes affections from the heart. So our Lord is not simply pretending to be compassionate to these people because, you know, to earn some type of credit with the crowd. No, the very affections from Jesus' heart was reaching out to these people. There was no pretense on Jesus' part. And even if I haven't met you, right, even if I don't know you at all, most likely you love the compassion of Christ. That's one thing that even if you know very little of Christ or you know nothing of Christ, his compassion is at least interesting to you. And think about this, because everybody loves the story of the Good Samaritan. And we won't go back to it. Kids, if you want to know what the story of the Good Samaritan is, ask your parents. They can share with you later. But in describing the Good Samaritan's attitude toward the hurting man, Jesus describes the Good Samaritan as having compassion. Similarly, we know we love compassion because we love the story of the prodigal son. Or you think of the son who has wandered off. Well, Jesus uses the same language to describe the father's attitude toward the son who returns. The father who welcomes and embraces the wayward son has compassion toward the son. And so we love the compassion of Christ. And in verse 36, we see clearly that this is Jesus' very heart for his people. And again, Jesus can help us and help these people in ways that no one else can. You know, the Old Testament raised the question over and over and over and over. You saw it here, these sheep without a shepherd. Who will help these helpless people? These people are helpless. Who will help them? Who is going to help meet the needs of these people? Who's going to lead these sheep that are hurting? And Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus says, I know my own and my own know me. So if you find yourself weary and discouraged, take heart from Jesus' example that he is our good shepherd and that he knows his own and his own know him. And so my prayer for you, brothers and sisters, as you share the gospel, that you would go with the boldness that Christ had, that you would look to Christ in his boldness, and you would say, I'm going to do that. But that you would also go with the compassion of Christ, right? With affections from your heart toward these hurting people who don't know Jesus. And so all these different groups that Jesus ministered to, right? I mean, he saw them, he taught them, he healed them, he preached to them, he went to them, he had compassion on them, and he never grew weary in doing good. And so hopefully you can find some encouragement from his example this morning. And now we're going to move really from thinking about Christ's labor among sinners to what he calls us to do. So Christ spent his time laboring among sinners. And again, we could have spent much longer on each one. We're going very quickly. But what is it that he calls us to do? And I know, you know, I mentioned my goal was to encourage you. And you may be thinking, like, why does he think we need encouraging? I stay pretty encouraged. But let me just give you four reasons, and more can be said. I'll go very quickly. But if you're here and you like to know the why behind some of this, well, here it is. Here's why I think we need to be encouraged. It's because the work of sharing the gospel is difficult work. The work of sharing the gospel, the work of taking the good news of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, is hard work. We just saw Jesus, right? Jesus, the one who all things, right, in heaven and on earth were created, as Colossians tells us. The Jesus who created all things, right, that Jesus, right, he has moved to compassion here, right? I mean, he acknowledges that there are few workers going about this work. So you need to be encouraged because your work of sharing the gospel is extremely difficult work. It was difficult for Jesus, and so we should expect the same. One brother compared, and I think this is helpful, he compared our work to a mailman delivering mail, right? He says it's not the mailman's job to make people like the mail, but to deliver it. Oh, that was helpful because I was like, it would be odd to find my mailman discouraged because I didn't like the bill he brought me or something like that. You know, if you don't like your mail, you're not going to take it out on the mailman, or you shouldn't. And it would be strange for him to be discouraged because he delivered mail you didn't like. So I thought that was helpful. A second reason why I think we need to be encouraged is because you have unique challenges simply because you live in 2022. I mean, many of you can think about, since you've been alive, just think about how the challenges to sharing the gospel have changed. In your lifetime, right, I'm sure many come to your mind, and we could spend more time on that. So the work is hard. There are obstacles to the work. A third reason is that if we're honest, I mean, we have our hands full with our own walk with the Lord. So many times we feel like we're working on our own growth, right, on our own knowledge and growing in that. And so we feel like we don't have anything else to share with people. Right? We have our hands full with ourselves. But then a fourth reason, and kind of the main reason why I wanted to spend time encouraging us, is because it's so easy to get discouraged in this area. If you ever spent any time trying to share the gospel, you know that it is easy to grow weary and easy to be discouraged here. And let me explain a little bit. Because many of you have friends, you have family members, and you have coworkers who just don't get it. They don't understand your faith. They don't understand what the big deal is that you're a Christian. And they just go through life not really caring that they don't know Jesus. I mean, have any of y'all ever experienced that? You observe people, they just kind of float through life as if their greatest need is not to know Christ. And there are people that you love and care about. I mean, you want them to know Jesus, but they just don't find it important. Right? If you've ever experienced that, then you know how easy it is to get discouraged in this work. Because if we don't see success, right, if we see success, no matter what it is, we want to keep going, whether it's with our jobs, whether it's just with a small home project. If we complete it, we want to keep going. But we don't see success, so we just stop sharing. It's easy for us to stop praying, right? To stop spending time just actively thinking about, on our own time, how we can even get a conversation about Jesus started. Because after all, whatever we try, you know, it may never seem to work. And so if we're not careful, because we face this discouragement, then we can lose the desire for the work altogether. We can lose the desire to follow Christ's example and to share the gospel. And so then we just start making excuses. and we'll make excuses for not sharing the gospel. Instead of this compassion that our Savior had, right, instead of following Him with a Christ-like compassion, we just grow cold and bitter towards other people. And so this is why we must train ourselves to do what we've done in about 15 minutes. But we must train ourselves to look to Christ again and again. Again, we've only done it 10, 15 minutes. But train yourself to find encouragement from His example, to think about Jesus, to think about His work, not only in your own life to save you, but also Jesus' work to save other people. Think about that often, and let that encourage you as you seek to labor for Him. A pastor who's in heaven once asked his people this: can we not labor earnestly for Jesus? Can we not labor earnestly for Him? Then he says this: if you have a part in your Savior, then love Him much, who loved you so immeasurably, and spend and be spent for Him. So love Him much, who loved you so immeasurably, and spend and be spent for Him. So we've thought briefly about Christ's labor, and now I want us to think even more quickly about what He calls us to do. So the second point is that Christ calls His followers to pray for more laborers to be sent. You'll see that in verses 37 and 38, that Christ calls His followers to pray for more laborers to be sent. Look down as I read verse 37 and 38. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." So similarly, what is the work? Right? We thought about what our Savior did, how Jesus spent His time. So what is our work then? Right? As followers of Jesus, what should we spend our time doing? And two simple things, beloved: we pray and we participate. We pray and we participate. So in verse 37, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And then notice what He tells them to do in 38. Pray. It's very simple. "Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord." And Jesus uses this language of harvest. I mean, He's saying the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So He's saying the crop is ready. If you're not familiar, the harvest is the end, right? Whenever the work's been done, you're ready to gather the crop. So He says that the crop is ready, but there are few people to go and get the crop. And I don't think I've ever heard anyone say this, but it's possible that there may be some confusion about whose responsibility it is to share the gospel. So this may be helpful to think about. Who is responsible for sharing the gospel with the people in your life? So who is responsible for sharing the gospel with the people in your life? If there's confusion, maybe this will help. Imagine you're among the followers in Matthew chapter 9. So imagine you've seen Jesus labor and do all these great things. I mean, I don't think any of us would dare to tell Him, "Jesus, that was a good sermon, brother. That was, I mean, you really went after the religious leaders, which made me feel good. You know, you really preached the word, thank you. But Jesus, it's not my responsibility to tell people about You, right? I know You said the laborers are few, but Lord, far be it from me to join them. I'm not going to join those laborers." I don't think we would be so confused as to say that, and hopefully we don't think that way, but hopefully we view this as a joy. Right? Hopefully we view this as a privilege to be able to participate in this work, right? To be considered a co-laborer with Christ in the work of sharing the gospel and praying for more laborers to be sent. As Jesus says, the crop is ready, but there are few people to go and get the crop. And this harvest language is often used throughout Scripture as judgment. So again, harvest is the end, right? The farmers have put in the work. It's harvest time, right? This is the end. So the good crop, what's going to happen? Well, if you're a farmer, you're going to take the good crop, but you're not going to take the dead crop. And Jesus uses this language here to make this point, to say, listen, the work is out there. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And notice this in verse 38. Who does He tell us to pray to? Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. And so this is why our last point is that we must participate, that Christ calls His followers to participate. And so just, I know this is hypothetical, but let's just say your non-Christian friend, they come up to you this week and they say, what do you pray about? You're a Christian. What do you pray about? I hope that in light of this passage, you could be honest with them. You could just say, well, thanks for asking. You know what I pray for? I pray that the Lord would send more people here to my job to help me share the gospel with you. And, I mean, many of you, just in conversation, have shared with me just your own efforts in sharing the gospel. We had the privilege of having lunch with a brother and sister, and they just shared with us how over and over and over they were trying to share the gospel. And I think what they taught me and what helps us is that they said, we've explained the gospel, but now Jesus has to get a hold. Right now that we've explained the gospel, Christ has to work. And I think that's Jesus' point here. He says, pray to the Lord of the harvest, which is himself. Right? It's his harvest. And he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so you think about, I mean, this may be simple, but a farmer, right? If you're working for a farmer and you tell him, listen, farmer, your crop is ready. It's ready to harvest, but there's nobody to help me go get it. Will you send more people to help me? Of course the farmer, he doesn't want his crop to waste, so he's going to get as much help as possible to send that to you. So based on what we've read here, we know that Jesus will answer this prayer, that as we pray for him to raise up and to send more people into the harvest, that our Lord will do exactly that. And I think this might be helpful to think about. As we read that verse 37, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Your instinct might go immediately to the nations to think there's a lot of work to do among the nations, right? I mean, they need to know the Lord, and amen, absolutely. But remember earlier we talked about Christ seeing and Christ going. Who were the people that Christ was seeing? Right? Who did Jesus go and serve? Right? So Jesus, as he makes this statement, he has in mind the people that he's looking at, his neighbors, right? The ones that, not the ones that aren't there, though that's true, but he has in mind specifically the people that he's looking at. He says, they are like sheep without a shepherd. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so while it's a good instinct to think about the nations, we also should think about our neighbor, that our neighbors need the gospel just as much as the nations need the gospel. And so in the verses above, right, we saw that Christ modeled for us the work. We saw Christ labor among sinners. And our work is simply to point them to Jesus. So we plead over and over and over, look to Christ, look to Christ, look to Christ. Now perhaps as we've been, even as Brother Greg was talking about, you know, bubbles and sharing the gospel, perhaps someone has come to your mind that you can share the gospel with. Perhaps even now, multiple people are coming to your mind where you're like, yeah, I don't know if they know the Lord. Let me encourage you, press on in that work. Please don't grow weary in doing good, because you'll find it very easy to get discouraged as you go to share the gospel. And this is, one Christian said this. He said, I was tired of talking to tired people about a treasure they needed but seemed not to want. So as he's trying to share the gospel with people, he just, in a moment of honesty, he says, I was tired of talking to tired people about a treasure they needed but seemed not to want. And that's the work. That's why it's so difficult. Many of the people in your life, they don't care at all that you have this eternal gift, right? That you know Christ. They don't care about it. And so they just go through life that way. But let me remind you, if you're a Christian, that you're not a spectator. As a believer, you get all the rights, all the privileges of all of Christians. Right? We have the same privilege. We have the same rights. But you also get the same work that your brothers and sisters have always had. So know that as you enter into the work of sharing the gospel, that plenty of brothers and sisters who follow the same Lord have gone before sharing the gospel. You think about, we're part of the Southern Baptist Convention. Our convention officially started in 1845. And you can Google this. It's not a secret. But whenever we've met, so 1845, before all of us were born, Baptists got together, and this was one of the first things they said. They said, it is the design of this convention to promote foreign and domestic missions. So almost in the first page of those documents, from the very beginning, Our denomination was focused on the nations and our neighbor and taking the gospel to them. And so even though these things aren't new, beloved, we must remain faithful. And I wanted to save the article toward the end because I think it fits well with the passage. I mean, our text this morning ends with Christ calling his followers to go. And so I want to read our confession, Baptist Faith and Message 2000, Article 11. It's on evangelism and missions. And just kind of as we end, to read this, because we're thinking about how we participate, right? Christ calls his followers to pray. Christ calls his followers to participate. And as you read the rest of chapter 10, you get into, I mean, you see the unity of Matthew's gospel, because we've seen Jesus laments, there are few workers. There's few people to go. So what does he tell us to do? Pray. And then in chapter 10, he actually sends them out to go and do the work. But it'll probably be on the screen. This is Article 11, Evangelism and Missions. It's from the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. It says this: it is the duty and privilege of every follower of Christ and of every church of the Lord Jesus Christ to endeavor to make disciples of all nations. The new birth of man's spirit by God's Holy Spirit means the birth of love for others. Missionary effort on the part of all rests thus upon a spiritual necessity of the regenerate life and is expressly and repeatedly commanded in the teachings of Christ. Notice this, the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded the preaching of the gospel to all nations. It is the duty of every child of God to seek constantly to win the lost to Christ by verbal witness, undergirded by a Christian lifestyle, and by other methods in harmony with the gospel of Christ. I love the language. They say it's a duty and a privilege for us to take this gospel. So as we conclude, and how do we do this? I mean, I've mentioned a lot. We've thought about Jesus' example. We've thought about how he spent his time. And we've thought about how we should pray. And I hope both of those things are practical to you. I hope you never get tired of thinking about what Jesus did and just that we need to pray. But maybe you're wondering, all right, what can I do then? What should I, as a follower of Christ, do day to day, daily? What should I do? And please don't think that I'm like just simplifying this because, you know, it's the first Sunday and we have our kids here. Kids, this is true today and it'll also be true when you're 100. What can we do? We simply find people in our life that don't follow Christ, and then we help them follow Christ. We find people in our life who don't follow Christ, and we help them follow Christ. And we become comfortable asking others the question, what can I do to help you follow Jesus? What can I do to help you follow Jesus? And then you hopefully get into the specifics there. And so even though everything I've mentioned, hopefully about the difficulties and the challenges, right, hopefully that doesn't discourage you because, I mean, it is true. But we don't give up, right? We try and try, and we start that conversation for the 30th time. We pray to the Lord for the 100th time that he would convert this person we love. And we return again and again to the same gospel, right? We return to the same work, and we take with us the same gospel. And why? Because God has called us to do this work. So, beloved, please be encouraged, because your God calls you to participate in his work. Right? He calls us to pray for more laborers to be sent to share the gospel. And so the work is difficult, it has challenges, and it's met easily with discouragement. But brothers and sisters, keep praying. Right? Keep seeking to share the gospel. And please don't grow weary in doing good. Let's pray together. Father, you are faithful. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent Christ to labor among sinners. Father, we thank you that you call us to pray. And so, Father, we want to obey you. So would you please, Father, send more laborers into your harvest. Father, there are people who don't know you. Father, our neighbors, but also to the ends of the earth. So, Father, would you raise up many people to go and to share your gospel. Father, would you give us boldness as we go to our neighbors. Father, as we go to our family members, to our coworkers, Father, where it can be uncomfortable, Father, would you give us just a spirit of power? Father, would you help us just to share with them your gospel. And help all of us to behold your glory and to honor you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this sermon audio from Potomac Heights Baptist Church. Please feel free to make copies of this audio to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter their content in any way without express written permission from Potomac Heights Baptist Church.